so enjoy assembling and worshiping with you. It's such a joy. It's the most joyful thing I do in my life. Just to enter the presence of God with believers assembled for that purpose. Father, we do love you and we love your ways. We love your word. And Father, I just pray that your word goes forth in power this morning. And I'll just remind you again, Father, as I prayed already today, let it be your word that goes forth. I open my mouth that you may fill it. Father, bring revelation, bring clarity, and edify your people today in this place for works that you've ordained for them and me. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tell you what, you look around, and I'm just going to encourage you, look around everywhere you go and everything you do for opportunity to hear the voice of God, even from the donkey and the chicken and whatever, okay? The crazy man. This morning I heard it from Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Figure that one out. Now, she did not give credit to God for this. But she spoke the truth in this video I saw. She was sitting next to the Dalai Lama. He didn't say anything. It's just her. And she was talking about evil. And this is, by the way, just kind of an extra thing ahead of what I plan to do. But as I saw this morning, it spoke to me. She was talking about evil in the world and how evil is intelligent. Well, if she would go ahead and say evil is Satan himself, and yes, he has a plan, he has schemes, and he is intelligent. She didn't call it Satan, but she said evil or hate is intelligent, and it looks to divide us, to make us weaker in the smaller groups. So then the groups even do the work for evil. Evil itself doesn't even really have to work anymore when the groups that get divided against each other start hating and attacking each other. The work's done. Satan, and so I would say, she's right on the mark about it, except she didn't work God into it. She was more humanistic about it. But I'm telling you, you can hear truth in many, many different places where you don't expect it. I used to not even like to say the name Lady Gaga. That irritates. There's something about that name just kind of, I don't like it. Because it kind of brings the image of this weird costume lady up on the stage doing crazy stuff. But this morning, she's not in costume. She's just on the stage. She's talking. And she speaks some truth. I'm here to give God glory for that truth. That, yes, evil is intelligent. He's at work in the earth. He's at work in this community.
Yes.
At work in this community. And we have work to do to end that assignment.
Yes.
So, we've been kind of working up to this point. I've had some pause in what I was teaching to spend some time talking about the kingdom, ruling and reigning. So this morning I want to talk about, beginning to talk about praying again, but the praying believing thing you'll hear us say all the time. Praying believing. To begin with, why do we even have to add that qualifier? Praying believing. Why don't we just pray? Why would you pray if you don't believe? Well, we do. We do. Sometimes we pray without the believing part. If we weren't able to do that, then God wouldn't give us the instruction to make sure we believe when we pray, because He does it over and over. In the Word of God, we're instructed, pray believing. He doesn't just say necessarily always pray. So I guess it's possible for us to pray without believing. That what we're praying for is actually possible or going to happen, or that God hears us, or all whatever. And I think one really important part of learning and stepping into this more deeply, even if you do this well, if you do pray believing, let's just be honest with ourselves and say, yeah, sometimes I pray and I don't really believe it, because it's such a far-reaching thing that I'm praying for. Or because I haven't seen evidence of Him answering before in this particular case. Whatever it is. But let's just admit, even if it's just a little bit, that, yeah, we need to change a little bit about how we approach prayer, because sometimes I pray not believing. And let's look at what we're believing for and why that matters. Why, what it is that God actually says in His Word about praying, believing, and that we are given what we've prayed for in that case. I'll tell you what, the further I look, the more I look at this, the more I realize God is not contained in our way of rules and boundaries. I've always known that, but the more I look, the more real it gets. And he gives us instruction. He gives us examples of how we're to pray, that we pray believing, that we pray according to His will, that we can pray about everything on earth. He gives all these examples, and they all don't necessarily line up together to satisfy my soul, my thinking, my logic, okay? Because sometimes it doesn't say according to His will. It just says, pray believing that you've received. Other places it says, pray according to His will and then. So I'm telling you, there is a lot to this believing in what you pray about, but it begins with understanding God is able. He has no limitations. He is not bound by our ideas. He is only moved by our faith. Why is it that we need to pray in the first place? If He already knows, as we already sang today, we sang this, He already knows what we need before we ask. So why do we have to ask? Come on, God, just give it to me if you know I need it. Well, because then there's no faith involved. And without faith, we can't please God. It's all about that relationship. And that we trust that He really is a good, good Father. That He does want us to prosper in our spirit and in our nature. And our natural man as well. He wants us to live life abundantly in all regards. That's what He wants. But He also wants us to cry out to Him in faith when we're in need, when we have a concern, whatever it is. Mark 11:24 is where we'll start. I'll tell you, as I finished up preparing for today, I felt overwhelmed by what is out there. Mark 11:24. I felt overwhelmed by what I was hearing from the Word, that He is so much bigger and so boundless. I thought, God, I can't put this together. I have 3 pages of stuff, and I'm saying, where do I start? I don't know how to put this together so I don't leave any confusion, because I don't want anyone confused about anything this morning, because this is vital stuff. Everything we try to do to edify the body here is vital, it's important, and I don't want anybody leaving unedified and in confusion. Okay? So my prayer was, God, You got to put this together, because I don't see how. There is so much stuff. You are so big. So much bigger in all of this than I ever even thought about. In all these years, I've thought I knew so much. The more I know, the less I know. Okay? Because He just gets bigger and bigger the more I look into Him. That's the truth about this morning's experience I had with God in His Word. And all it took was to dig in and say, wow, there's more. Oh, wow, there's even more. Look at that. There's another way He can do it. He is far-reaching. Nothing bounds Him. There's no boundary. And so, I may slip back and forth between prayer, believing, and talking about the sovereignty and the far-reaching arm of God. Because I don't think you can really separate the two ideas. I'll explain that in a minute. Let's go ahead and read Mark 11:24. For this reason I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it. Pray believing. And it will be yours. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. There's not much qualification there about if this, then that, except believing. Pray believing. So what is it we believe in and for? That's why I can't separate this idea from the sovereignty of God. And so I don't confuse you about what I mean about the sovereignty of God. I've said it over and over in case you haven't heard my definition. And what I mean when I say that is that nothing is beyond the reach of God. Nothing is ever done without His permission or His doing it. Nothing happens that surprises God. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present. He is sovereign over everything. Now, what I have started to understand better than ever in my life, and sovereignty of God is one of those foundational things that I apply to so many points in my life that keeps me stable and keeps me from falling away. I've been looking at this for a long time and preaching and teaching about this for a long time. But I'll tell you, I'm learning new stuff about the sovereignty of God, because not only does He have all that ability, nothing's beyond His reach. He chooses when He's going to insert Himself. That's part of His sovereignty. And He chooses by, many times it is by our crying out to Him in faith, believing that He hears us and that He's going to move. That faith moves God. You know the story in the Old Testament, God was ready to just start over, do away with the Israelites, right? He was ready to just do away with them. And start over. Let Moses start new. Prayer changed God's mind. It changed His mind. Now, you talk about some serious responsibility when you start praying and you think, I can change the mind of God by my prayer. How about if we make sure we're praying according to His will in that case? If we really can. And you know, what really matters when you say, if we really can, do you believe what the Word says or not? If it says it, there's a reason for it, because it's truth. It's true. So, let's jump over to 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. In the NET it says, and this is the confidence that we have before Him, that whenever we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in regard to whatever we ask, then we know that we have the request that we have asked from Him. So there's another qualifier in that scripture that wasn't in the previous one. That it's according to His will. So, you start asking yourself questions like this, or I do. So, isn't it God's will that everyone is healed? And that if I pray according to His will that everyone's healed and walks in divine health, why don't I see results every time I pray for someone's healing? Because I think we have a misunderstanding of God's will. If it were God's will that everyone walks around in perfect health and everyone looks the same Barbie and Ken style people walking around healthy and happy and fit and just no issues, it would be because of His intervening to the point of taking away our free will. And He established, He created nature and set it in motion. And it is not outside of His reach, but He lets it do what it does most of the time. He set things in, let's talk about the solar system. He set the solar system in motion. And it does what it does because He created it to do that. That is part of His will that is ongoing. But there are also times we see in Scripture that he has actually changed what he has set in motion because of a man or woman's prayer. Elijah prayed for it to rain and not to rain, and he answered those prayers. The rain would have come and gone just according to nature, but Elijah changed it with a prayer of faith, and God answered, and he changed nature for that instant. But it was his will in the first place to create nature the way it is. It is his will at times to answer prayer in the midst of that natural occurrence. So, why don't we always see results when we pray according to his will? I think we just don't understand his will as much as we think we do. I don't know if I'll head off too far into this, but in the book of Job, if you're not familiar with it, I'll give you a quick synopsis. We may read some more detail in a minute. Job was a righteous man. I mean, like, top-level righteous. Yet, through a testing brought on by Satan himself, he lost everything. His whole family gone. All his belongings gone. His whole family. Because God gave permission to Satan to come against him to that point. Now, does that line up with your will of God in the way you understand it? That all those people would die because God allowed Satan to test this one man? No, it does not line up with my little confined understanding of the will of God. Everybody should be in health and happy and live long and prosperous lives. Guess what? All his kids died young. Was that God's will? It had to be by his permission, right? So if it's not his will, what is it? Well, I don't really want that to happen. I'm going to let you. No, it was his will. He chooses to do what he will. And we don't get it sometimes. But it shouldn't stop us to pray from praying in faith. I don't really have all the answers here this morning. I'm telling you that. I'm showing you what the Word says that may cause you to ask God, then tell me, explain your will to me then. If it's not that everybody's healthy and happy and lives long lives, then what is your will? Part of it is that men live in faith. Men and women live in faith. And cry out unto the Lord in faith. No matter what the circumstance. No matter if we see the answer as we think it ought to be. We sing another song. Even if you don't answer. Even if you don't move that mountain. What then? Because he says, you know, you without doubting, if you pray that that mountain be thrown in the sea, it will be. And then if it's not, what do? Say God's a liar? No. Let me read a little bit of this description I found. God has put things in motion, like I said, and nature is doing what it does because he created it to do that. But let's say you put a lightning rod on your house. And where lightning would have gone maybe somewhere else, it hits the rod and goes to ground and doesn't catch anything on fire. Nature would have said, let it go anywhere, but you put some effort in and say, I'm going to change this because I know how this works. I think that may be an analogy to praying believing. That I'm going to change things because I know how it works. I'm going to put up a lightning rod for the power of God to be exhibited and directed in this case. That it goes a certain way. That I'm praying in faith, that I pray believing, that God will hear me and that he acts, and that lightning doesn't just strike anywhere in random fashion, but it comes and does it here. That his power is exhibited here because I prayed believing. That help any? I hope that helps a little. Put up a lightning rod. Pray believing. Psalm 145, 19, if you want to put it up, Tom, that's fine. I'm going to read just a few little clips here. Psalm 145, 19, he says, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. It's just some examples of the Word of God speaking to how He responds to us. Proverbs 10:24, What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. And in Matthew 7:7, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. John 14:13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. A long time ago, I started questioning this thing about why aren't people healed when we pray for them? Why don't we always see that result? I don't have all the answers. But I do know I look back at the examples in the Word, in the New Testament in particular, and all of those healings were done not to make the person happy, but to glorify God. Think about that one person born blind. Remember that story? And the ding-dongs in the religious realm said, who sinned to make him this way? The parents or the child that was born blind? What a stupid question. And I've talked about this before. And what's the answer? What was the reason for that man to live that life to that point for Jesus to heal him? What was the point? To glorify God. Now, does that line up with your understanding of the will of God? If it doesn't, then fix your understanding of the will of God, because that's the truth. He allows things to happen that are outside of the way we would do them, because we're nicer than Jesus sometimes, right? We slip off into that unsanctified mercy. And so, if the end result is that God is glorified, is that not a good thing? It just doesn't line up the way. Surely there was a better way. Surely there was a better way than that. Well, take that up with God. Take it up with Him. His Word says it. You can ask Him. Maybe when we get there, we can ask Him. Wasn't there a better way? But man, what a statement that made that day. This man was healed to glorify God in front of all these ding-dongs that thought it was because of sin. Okay. I want to turn to James chapter 4. Yeah, I want to, if my thing will go there. James chapter 4. Let's start in verse 2. You desire and you do not have. You murder and envy and you cannot obtain. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. You have not because you ask not. How many times have you heard that one? You have not because you ask not. I used to quote this to a good friend a lot, you know, just kind of in passing, which is kind of a joke. And he would always respond by completing the sentence. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, so you can spend it on your passions. The way he would say it was King James, you ask amiss. I believe that's what King James. Because you ask amiss. You know, I would go with the positive part. You have not because you ask not. Just ask away. And he would always come right back. But you you ask amiss. What is amiss? Well, it's not understanding the will of God and that we have the wrong motive. What is our motive? If our motive is always to glorify God in what we're asking for in prayer, and that it is not according to our passions and our selfishness, then I think we're okay on the first part. I don't think that's amiss. But when we start slipping over into, oh, I just want it, it would be fun for me, it's all about me, or even if it's all about Jonathan, it's all about Donna, if it's all about people and not about God, that's amiss. I'll tell you again, I don't have all the answers. I hope this is just opening some revelation and maybe some questions you can ask your Father. And let the Holy Spirit lead you into truth so that you're settled about this at whatever point you need to be right now. That He would show you, first of all, pray. Pray believing. But then let Him show you His will in it. Let Him show you His will for us in the earth through the way He moves after that. Proverbs 28:9 says, well, hold on, wait. Let me go ahead and read a little further. I'll just go ahead and read through, starting in 4. James 4:4. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world means hostility toward God? So whoever decides to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Or do you think the Scripture means nothing when it says the Spirit that God caused to live within us has an envious yearning? What does King James say on 5? Do you think that the Scriptures saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? Maybe it's a little easier to understand this, NET. The Spirit that God caused to live within us has an envious yearning, but He gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and make your hearts pure, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and weep. Turn your laughter into mourning and your joy into despair. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Make it less about you and more about Him is the point. Humble ourselves. Maybe starting out with something, God, you know better than me. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than mine. But I'm crying out. I had a little bit of that going on this morning when I got overwhelmed with all that He was opening up. I said, God, certainly your ways are higher than mine. Even if they don't seem that way. I know that's true. And your thoughts are higher than mine. So let's jump over now to Proverbs 28:9. It says, the one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Now this is before the cross. Speaking to someone who ignores the law and still prays to God. And that prayer, it says, is an abomination. Ignoring the Word of God, the law of God, and praying to Him anyway. Can you, just put yourself in God's place for just a second. And you'll understand that. I tell you what to do, you don't do it, and you still come and ask. Wow. What nerve. That's nervy. So bring it on this side of the cross. we don't have the law of man, of Moses, the Levitical instruction to abide by, but we do have a higher standard. And when we ignore that, when we ignore the things God has called us up to and enabled us to meet because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, if we ignore that and still turn around and say, oh, God, help me, what do you think he's going to do? He'll have pretty much the same attitude as he did before, but thankfully he has forgiveness for us because of the blood of Christ. But still, you ever felt like your prayer hit the ceiling and it came back down? Like, this didn't do anything. It's not even helping me in my spirit man to even feel like I'm connecting. Well, maybe there's references to make sure you're not in unforgiveness with someone. Make sure that you're actually in line with God, what he's told you to do. I've had people, I remember one case in particular, a woman comes and wants advice about what she should be doing with her life. And I said, she says, God isn't telling me what to do. I'm just like, there's nothing when I pray. No direction. I said, well, have you done the last thing he told you to do? Because he might not tell you the next thing until you've done that. And it was like revelation to her. Really? You know, if you hadn't done the last thing, why would he tell you the next thing? Why would he give you more direction if you've ignored the previous? Again, there's forgiveness, there's repentance, there's getting back in line with God after all these things if we mess up so badly. But if we're not hearing something, maybe we need to think about what is our condition. Are we not forgiving? Are we not responding to what he's already told us? Just put yourself in line with God so that we can hear. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 5. But if anyone is deficient in wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without reprimand, and it will be given to him. I've talked about that many, many times. I testify to that being absolutely true, and that I depend on it regularly. Because if any of us, you know, it begins with that humility of saying, I lack something. That's the humbling part. God, I lack what I need here. I lack understanding. I lack wisdom. So, Father, I'm asking again, please give that to me again. And he says, I will, and I do. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed around by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is a double-minded individual, unstable in all his ways. Unstable in all his ways if you doubt. But instead of walking in faith, praying, believing, if you walk in doubt, pray in doubt, speak in doubt, you are unstable. And every wind will blow you around. I hope all of you have places of such certainty of knowing God and who he is in your life that I don't care what the area of understanding and belief is, but a place that you can grab hold of and you know it never moves, it never changes. The more of those things we have in our life, in our hearts, in our belief, the more stable we are in the storm. So I hope some of this morning is giving you some new place to grab hold of. Because let me just ask this. Is your Faith in God contingent upon the answer to the prayer and how that looks. Have you decided how God ought to do this before you pray for Him to take part that He enters in? Have you decided how it ought to look? And if it doesn't look like that, are you unsatisfied and believing He hasn't done it? I have had many, many, many occasions in my life. He has had many opportunities to fix things for me, okay? And when I've prayed, I have had, early on in my Christian walk, more so than now, hopefully, I have an idea how this is going to look when God answers that prayer. Okay, He's going to do it this way. So I'm watching for that. And it's not happening. And when I quit thinking it has to happen this way and I look over, He's already done it over here. I'm going to say that again. You're watching for it to happen the way you thought it should. You prayed. This is how He's going to do it. This is how He's going to do it. And when you finally give up your expectation, your will, and look for His, He's been faithful and moved on your behalf. Now you just have to turn and say, that's okay, God, however you want to do it. However you will. However you will. Some of the more prominent examples in my early walk were concerning money. You know, how many times have you prayed about money? I think we all have. Oh, God, we can't pay these bills. So you expect Him to put money in the bank somehow. But then somehow bills get changed or something that wasn't expected happens, but it's not the way you thought it would be. Oh, I needed overtime, and I didn't get the overtime. Well, then God didn't answer. If you turn around and look at the other side of the equation, maybe He fixed it over there instead of over here. His will, not yours. So, pray believing. Believe that you have received it. I want to go next week into more about the sovereignty of God, because let me just kind of preface that and tell you, I believe it's as important as it is all these things we've looked at today. Knowing to whom we pray is vital. That we really are clear about what He can do. That we really believe it. Believe what the Word says about it. Because He'll insert Himself in ways that are shocking and unexpected. And we need to understand His limitlessness in the earth and in our lives. So I'm going to head that way next week, I think. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. I pray, Father, that nothing has been confused here, but that You, Your Holy Spirit, teaches beyond my ability, that teaches us all, leads us into truth, and that You're glorified in it, Father. I pray blessing on all these here as they go to do the work of service that You've ordained for them, the steps You've ordered for them, Father. May they be a blessing to those they encounter, and may they be blessed by You in all they put their hand to. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to give you a couple of examples of getting a word or praying for something and looking at how it was, you thought that was going to go. years ago, someone had prophesied to me that millions of dollars were going to come through these hands. So, you know, a person would get excited about that. Legitimate word of God. Millions of dollars. So what do you do when you get a word like that? Well, you pray for it. You pray and believe it. Pray believing, right? What we're talking about. Exactly. You plan on being a millionaire. So, but, you know, with that, you also had had fear with that, because I'm going, oh my gosh, I've got to be a good steward of that. You know, got to put some, got to be a good steward of that. And, well, what I didn't know was that I would be a manager of First Community Federal Credit Union, and millions of dollars would be coming through these hands. And those safeguards would be already in place. And, you know, in the 3 years that I've been general manager, I have approved and denied loans, and millions of dollars have come through these hands. And it's, I mean, you know, it's just a natural way that things progressed. And did the prophetic word come true? Absolutely. You know, and it didn't cause any heart attacks or anything like that, you know, and it was awesome. How many of us have prayed for healing? Okay? Prayed for healing for people. And sometimes, and what I pray, I have prayed for the manifestation of that healing to happen right then, you know, and it didn't happen. And there was this guy who was walking on a beach, and all these starfish had washed up on the shore. And he was taking the starfish and throwing them back into the sea. And this other guy saw him doing it. He says, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "Well, they'll live." And he says, "But there's so many. Why are you doing that? It's a fruitless effort." He says, It won't matter." He goes, "It matters to this one." The reality is, pray. Because when I believe that I pray, whether they get healed or not, I brought a blessing to that person. Peace to that person. God manifested himself in a way to that person that they needed. And whether it be healing, whether it be a soul rest in their soul, then it was what was needed. And so, you know, pray. And one of the biggest things that we need, and I think Jimmy covered this, is just hearing God. Let him lead you into these things that pray believing. I believe I heard God, and I'm just doing what he tells me to do. Representation. So.